This morning I'm going to teach a sermon, or teach a message. It's more going to be, might even feel like just a Bible study in the living room, okay? A little different this morning is a different word that I'll be bringing. I told my wife, I said, in 40 years, you know, we stepped out about 40 years ago into the ministry, and I said, I don't believe, and I even went through all of my sermon titles, and of all the sermons I've ever taught, and that I have a copy of, and I said to myself, I don't believe I've ever taught this subject, ever, and my wife said, yes, you have, you've just forgotten it. But I think she's wrong, and I say that lovingly, you know, okay? But I'm going to ask you a question this morning. We're going to be in a, and I'm going to give you many scriptures. I pray you write these down. But how many, if I ask you questions like, have you ever read one book, studied one book on the fear of the Lord? Have you ever just sat down and done a personal Bible study yourself about the fear of the Lord? Have you ever heard a Sunday sermon on the fear of the Lord? Well, not unless you were in one of those, but and they're good churches, but you know, I'm not talking about fire and brimstone. I'm talking about what the fear of the Lord actually is. Amen? I mean, the typical Christian has never studied out the fear of the Lord, nor have they actually heard a sermon on the fear of the Lord, okay? Now, with all of that being said this morning, when we talk about the majesty of God, the holiness of God, the incredible awesomeness of God, the transcendence of God, listen, there is no one. It's so funny that Jesse, where is Jesse? It's funny that you selected those songs. I said it in the early service. I said, because that's what you call the unity of the Spirit. You follow me? Because we're talking about there's no one like God. Amen? There's no one like God. But we sing it, but do you really know that? There is no one like the Lord. So this morning, I know that you've heard many sermons on the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the comfort of God, all those things. Those are all great. But this morning, we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord. And there's a scripture I'm going to give you later that it literally jumped off the page at me. Even though I had read it 1,000 times, probably it didn't register with me. And I want to preface before I go into what we're going to talk about, the fear of the Lord. I know what warfare is, okay? And I know pretty much after all these years, you know this method of the wicked one. You know what I'm saying? But I have never experienced the warfare over a message as I have on this one. So much so that yesterday, all day, I was here later than normal because it was like, and I know it wasn't God because God's not the author of confusion, but I could not for the life of me even think straight. So I know that there's something that the Lord is wanting to get into our hearts this morning. Amen? We are in revolution. You know, we have 8 months left of this year. So this morning we're going to look at the fear of the Lord and learn about that. And I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures before I get into the sermon. Is that okay? Like I said, it's a different kind of Sunday. So just write them down. Or if you have your app, all the scriptures will be there for you. You can study them out later. But let me begin with the fear of the Lord with verse Psalm 34:7. You know it very well. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who love him, who fear him. Isn't it funny how we leave that out? I mean, we know the angels of the Lord, we pray, just surround us, Lord, you surround the righteous. But it says those who fear the Lord, it says there, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear the Lord. And then it says, and God delivers them. It says in Psalm 34:9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. Psalm 103:13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. The Bible, here's what I know. The more a man truly knows the Lord, that man truly begins to fear the Lord. I think we should fear the one who created all things. Amen? I think the one who divided the Red Sea, is that awesome? Come on, we're talking about our Father in heaven, amen? Let me give you a few more scriptures if you don't mind. Ecclesiastes 8:12, it says, I know surely that it would be well, Solomon says, with those who fear God, who fear before him. Ecclesiastes 8:13, let us hear, he says, the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for that is man's all. Now listen to this prayer, and I have been praying it, this prayer of King David. Unbelievable. Listen to what he says in Psalm 86:11. He says in his prayer, teach me your way, O Lord. He says, I will walk in your truth. And here it comes. Unite my heart. The word unite means make the singleness of my heart. Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. Have you ever prayed like that? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Think about it. Lord, unite my heart to fear your name, singleness of heart, meaning to honor you, to obey you, to trust you, to no matter what I face in this life. Amen? That's what is the fear of the Lord. And you say, well, Bill, what is the fear of the Lord? Well, can we let the Bible define that instead of me? Amen? Let me read it to you. The Holy Spirit penned it for us. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning. It is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Now listen, that's step one. That is the starting point. That's the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One. Meaning the knowledge of the Holy One himself is understanding. So you say, well, Bill, so what does that mean? What is the fear of the Lord? Well, it just said it's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. And I don't know about you, but I need the wisdom of God. Amen? Do you need the wisdom of God? Listen, we are desperate. Do you think there's wisdom in our nation? No, there's knowledge, but I don't see any wisdom. Look at it. Look at our campuses. Look at the things that are happening all over the world. The world is living in darkness, and the world is living in confusion because they don't have God's wisdom, nor do they fear God. Amen? Now, so we look at that. Now, listen to me. If you fear the Lord, I think that means that there is no one more important to you in this life. You say, no, that's all I want. I just want the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to have awe and reverence and respect for his word. Let me give you the scripture. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth, not some of the earth, let all of the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. In other words, blown away, awestruck, if you will. And here's why. For it says in verse 9 of that verse, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood still. Now listen, not all of the world, not all the inhabitants of the world fear the Lord, and certainly they don't stand in awe of the Lord. Amen? But my question is this, do we stand in awe of God? I'm talking about every day. Do we fear the Lord every day? Listen, he spoke and it was done. No one can do that but God. Listen, our universe was spoken into existence from something that had no existence. Do you understand? Read Hebrews 11:3 and you'll find out. And anyone, I don't care who they are, I don't care how smart they are, anyone who doesn't believe that this world was spoken into existence by our God doesn't have any respect for God's word, doesn't have any awe for God, and he certainly doesn't fear God. Amen? But the question we have to ask ourselves is this, do Do we really? Do we fear God? Now, I'm not talking about where you want to, like he's a killer or something. I don't mean that. But to fear the Lord. Are you in awe of God every day in your life? So the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge of God himself. It's respect for the word. And listen to what else the fear of the Lord is. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride, arrogance, the evil way. And God says, and the perverse mouth I hate. Now, so what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is literally to hate whatever God hates. And what does God hate? Well, we just read it. He hates sin, doesn't he? God doesn't hate people. God hates no... Listen, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Amen? Romans 5:8, God proves or demonstrates his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, okay? No, God loves people. We don't hate people. We hate sin, amen? We hate what sin does. Look what sin does. I mean, think about it. I mean, just the other day in my neighborhood, right two, three blocks from where I live, that person went into the Kroger store and stabbed that worker, that poor girl, all over the place. Do you know what I'm saying? And then right down the street, what, five or six people were shot. This is the world that we live in. God hates sin, but he doesn't hate people. We're to hate what God hates. That is the fear of the Lord. It says in Proverbs 6:16, by the fear of the Lord, one departs or turns away from evil, turns away from sin. Do you fear the Lord? Let me give you a New Testament verse. Romans 12:9. Let us abhor or hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Cling means to glue yourself to what is good. But we live in a world that's passing away, amen? Be careful what you cling to. Cling to what is good, not to what is passing away. Don't cling to your past. Let your past go where it doesn't bother you, amen? Let it go under the blood of Jesus. Now, listen to another verse. And we're going to get to the sermon. I'm just warming you up. Psalm 128:1, it says, blessed, that word again means, oh, how happy, or to be envied, or fortunate. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now listen to those who fear the Lord. Listen to how he says he will bless you. It says, those who fear the Lord, it says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you'll be happy. That's a good word. And it shall be well with you. Not only are your hands blessed, listen to this one, your wife shall be a fruitful vine. I don't know what that really means. I'm going to start saying that to my wife. You're a fruitful vine, baby. Sorry about that, honey. I got carried away. So, you're so beautiful, that's why. It says, you are like a fruitful vine. Now listen, in the very heart of your house. Now it comes to your children. Your wife's a fruitful vine, but boy, your children, they're like olive plants. Oh, I guess that means rich and healthy and, you know, and they mind. It says, your children will be like olive plants all around your table. Behold, that behold means a wonder. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question, and I say this with love. Why? The world's families are in trouble. I don't even need to talk about them. But why are Christian families in so much trouble today? Raising their kids and loving husbands and loving wives and doing all the things God wants them to do. Why? Why? Maybe they don't fear the Lord. Oh, now, Bill, that's the Old Testament stuff you're reading. Okay, well, how about this one? Ephesians 5:25, husband, wife, listen to this. Submitting yourselves, how? One to another, how do you do it? Isn't that amazing? In the fear, is your marriage, is it put together in the fear of the Lord? Meaning husband, not your will, wife, not your will. It's both of you saying, all we want is God's will. If you don't do verse 21 in Ephesians 5:25, you'll never move into verse 22, 23 and following. Never. It starts with the fear of the Lord. Is it in your home? Is he in your home, the fear of the Lord? Now, The Lord told Judah, they were in Babylonian captivity, remember? And he said, after the 70 years, after the 70 years of captivity are over, God made a promise to Judah, the southern kingdom. He says, I will visit you. And then he gives them this word. He says in Jeremiah 29:12, he says, then, when that 70 years is over, he says, then you will call upon me and pray, go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Listen carefully now. And you will seek me and find me. Find me. Is there anything greater than finding God? No. I mean, if you seek me, he says, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Maybe we need to find the fear of the Lord again in the church. Amen. Now, there are those that will say, now, Bill, the fear of the Lord is really, come on, it's just an Old Testament thing. That's true. I was reading Dr. Jeremiah last night. He said there are over 300 references to the fear of the Lord in the Old Testament. But you know what? The fear of the Lord is in the New Testament. Amen? Yes. Let me give you a few. You remember in Luke chapter 5, whenever the Lord spoke to Peter and said, Peter, he said, I need to borrow your boat. Push out into the deep. And then he said, well, Lord, he said, and cast your net. He said, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a thing. You don't know anything about fishing. You're a carpenter. You know what I mean? He says, I've been fishing all my life. I know these waters like the palm of my hand, okay? And he says, nevertheless, though, remember what he said? Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Meaning he was very, very reluctant. But when he obeyed the Lord, what happened? Him and his partners, the boats that were out there, all of a sudden they were pulling in the nets. There were so many fish that the net was breaking. And as they pulled the fish into the boat, it said the boat began to sink. You know how many fish it causes a boat to sink? And now, do you remember what Peter did? He says, let me read it to you. It says in Luke 5:8, and when Peter saw it, when he saw what God, I put it out and look, all these fish. He said, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He fell down because he knew he was in the presence of someone that he had never been in. Do you understand? He knew that he was before standing or kneeling now before the God, amen, the true God. Now, he says, he fell down at his knees and saying, oh, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Do you know what the fear of God does? The fear of God always brings confession. Lord, because you come, when you get near to the Lord, you all of a sudden you back down because you know what you are. Do you understand? It's the fear of the Lord. What did Peter do then? He walked away from the fishing business and he became a fisher of men. He followed the Lord. Did you know that Isaiah the prophet had exactly, if you will, the same experience? Remember how the seraphim, there in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, the train filled the temple, and the smoke was going on, and the seraphim with all the wings and all the stuff, they were crying out, mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, no, goodness, 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 love, love, no, 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 holy, 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 a thrice holy God, meaning completely holy, meaning totally holy, meaning holy. There's no one, as a song we sang, there is no one like God. And what happened in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, when Isaiah saw that, he said, what a great day. No, he said, woe is me. He said, woe is me. He said, I'm undone. I'm coming apart at the seams. I'm coming unglued. I'm coming unraveled. I'm falling apart. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. I have a polluted, dirty, filthy mouth. And I live amongst an unclean people. Now listen, and what did he say? But my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Did you know that Peter and Isaiah saw the same person? except Peter saw God in the flesh here, and Isaiah saw a theophany. Do you understand? The vision. How do you know that? John 12:51, read it later, it tells you so. The same one. They had the same experience. See, when you walk in the fear of the Lord, it brings a confession. You know who you are. You stay in your proper place. Does that make sense? You're the king's kids, yes, and you're born from above, all those things. But see, did Isaiah love God? Yes, he did. But when he saw who God really is, high and lifted up, when he caught that vision of that, he saw also his true condition, didn't he? And you know what happened. I don't have time to go in. The angel takes the coal and puts it on his lips. He immediately cleanses the area of his uncleanness. And then God uses him, amen, just like he has us. But we have to understand that maybe we, the church, do you think maybe that we need a fresh vision of the Lord? Do you think that we need to see the Lord high and lifted up again in our hearts, where we love him more and more and more? Listen, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 14 through 14, Paul the Apostle says, listen, he says, work out, not work for, work out your own salvation with, say it again. Do you believe the word of God? Listen, if you look up the word fear, do you know that that word means fear? If you look up the word trembling, it means trembling. Why? For it is God who is working in you. Think about that. The one who created all things, the majesty himself, he lives in you. He lives in me. And what does he do? He's working in us. The Bible says, it says, for his own will to be done in our lives, for his own good pleasure. But then verse 14 comes. Let me read it to you. It says, do all things without complaining or murmuring, or disputing. Why did Paul just start another topic? No. You know what Paul is saying here? He says, who do you think you're arguing with? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't murmur against God because of the way God is working out your salvation. Do you understand? Or God is leading you here, or God is leading you there. Don't argue with God. Fear the Lord. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Man, God is working in you. Amen? So the fear of the Lord in the New Testament. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Remember Cornelius. He was a proselyte, if you will. He was a Roman centurion, Gentile. And what happened? They call for Peter to come to the house, and it says about Cornelius that he was a devout man, one who loved the Lord. And it says here that he was one who feared God with all of his household. How about 2 Corinthians? I'm going to get to the sermon. Just bear with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Paul the Apostle writes a very sobering verse by the power of the Holy Spirit. For we must all, every Christian, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, the place of rewards. Amen? And it says that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it's good or bad. Now listen to what Paul says now. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What does that mean? He said, we win the lost. We go to them and tell them that there really is a hell. Do you understand? We persuade men. How about this one, 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves all filthiness, flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Perfecting means bringing it to completion. How? Going from glory to glory to glory into Christ's likeness, into the image of our Lord, perfecting holiness, and here's how you do it, in the fear of the Lord. You obey him in the fear of the Lord. I remember years ago when we were in the old building there in Fort Worth, West Side, and you know, I led us in worship, and one of the songs we used to do back then was Our God is an Awesome God. Remember that song? You know, Our God is an Awesome, okay. Yeah, that word, we use that word a lot today. Man, was that an awesome football game? Man, was that an awesome sermon? You know, you got to meet this guy. He or she is awesome. Or Caitlin Clark, the basketball lady that just signed with whoever it was. You know what I mean? Here she is right out of college, and Nike gives her $28 million, man. That's the truth. They go, she is the most awesome female basketball player of all time. Awesome. Listen, there is only one, that word is reserved for only one person. And it's not reserved for any of us because we are not awesome. There's no one on this world that is awesome. God is awesome. The fear of the Lord. He is the awesome God. Are you in awe of God? Do you fear the Lord? That's what we're talking about this morning. Listen, I don't know about you, but don't you think we should fear the one who sees everything we do, who knows everything we think, who hears everything we say, who knows everything about us and everything that we do in secret? He knows. He knows everything. Everything you're thinking right now, what you did last night, he knows everything. Everything. I think that maybe we should fear him. Amen. You know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12? Jesus said this. He said, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. I say to you, fear him. From the words of our Savior, we are to fear the Lord. Amen. Very, very important. Now, I want to ask you a question. No, I don't. I want to tell you to turn. Now, we're going to get to the sermon. Go to Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. You know, earlier in the sermon, I told you guys that I'd read this verse, I know 1,000 times over the lifetime of being a Christian. But this week when I read that, because I was preparing actually for 1 Peter, it just overwhelmed me. And it was like I had never seen it before in my life. One verse, just one verse, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Let me read it to you. Then the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace, were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now, what if we're in revolution, I don't know what we're in, but if we are in revolution, what if this is really the missing link? If this is the ingredient that we're not doing? Because see, the church of old, do you know, listen, it wasn't, I remember when we used to say God-fearing. He's a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman, remember? We don't hear that anymore. No, we say he's a comfortable Christian. Do you follow me? And it's almost an archaic term, but it's not. It's right here in the Word of the Living God. Now, it says this church had peace, but when did they have peace? Well, they remember Stephen, the first martyr of the church, he was stoned. And then in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, Saul appears. And we know what happens then. It says there in Acts 8, 3, so Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And those, they were scattered everywhere, and they were preaching the word. Now, the verb made havoc is a picture in the Greek of a wild animal catching its prey and then ripping it to pieces and devouring it. That's what Paul was doing to the church. He was like a wild man, and he was tearing the church apart, putting women in prison, men in prison, even letting those making them blaspheme, and then they were killed. Loved one, listen, that was a bad time, a horrible persecution that was going on. But then in Acts chapter 9, we have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, amen? And he becomes Paul the apostle because Jesus saves him, amen? And then after that, what happened? Well, that's when all the church in the Samaria, Judea, and the surrounding areas there, that's when they had peace. But listen to me. The peace that they had was not the final peace. It was just a temporary peace because persecution prevailed again. Amen? Now, listen very carefully. Pastor Marshall said something Wednesday night. Now, I don't remember anything he said. No, I'm joking. I remember this. because it bore witness with my spirit. He said, persecution is coming. He said, we better wake up, persecution. Now, listen, I look at this right here. It said they had peace, but it was only a short-lived peace. It did not last, loved one. We are now, from the early church, we are 2,000 years removed from them, and our time of peace has been a long time in this nation. Our time of peace from persecution. But I'm telling you, it is not just eroding away, it is now eroding away to where it's nearly eroded. Persecution's coming. The Christian in this nation today is no longer revered, no longer respected, no longer tolerated, and they don't like you. But that's don't be afraid of that. Jesus said you're going to be hated. Amen? So don't worry about it. But here, the early church, now watch, in this one verse, the early church did something. They enjoyed peace. They experienced peace. Man, they possessed peace, but they were not complacent. They weren't complacent in that peace. What were they doing? They were preparing for the next storm to come. Amen? And that's exactly what we have to do right now. Listen, peace passed. And you can have peace in a church and then, okay, now we don't have peace. But the next ingredient here, which is edification, it never ceases, amen, being built up by the Lord. In other words, the edification continued not only from the early church, but to this very moment. The Word of God builds us up, amen? So it says, look at the next one then. It says, and they were edified, meaning the church being built up, not built, being built up. And how do you do that? Well, we speak the truth in love. Amen? We edify the body of Christ, each of us doing our share, edifying itself, the Bible says, in love. But the true meaning of this word here, that they were edified, it means this. They, the church, the early church, they were building themselves up, preparing to keep going. They were not complacent, and that's what we must do as well. And look how they did it. And walking in love? No. Are we to walk in love? Are we to walk in the light as he's in the light? Are we to walk in wisdom? Are we to walk or be led by the Spirit? Absolutely. But look at this one. It says the early church, what they did. And we are the church. It says, and walking in the fear of the Lord. Now listen very carefully. The word walking is easy to say, it's just not walking. Let's put it that way. It's walking, but it's not walking. So Luke, who wrote this through the power of the Holy Spirit, what is he saying? He's giving us a description. He's giving every Christian a description of something. Well, what is that, Bill? Walking is not, don't forget this. This walking is not describing here the habit or the lifestyle of individual Christians or individual members. This one is doing it, but this one is not. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying here is that in the early church, all of the members, every one of them, it says they were all walking in the fear of the Lord. What would happen? What can, loved one, if we do that? If we're just, we're walking in the fear of the Lord. Listen, you know what the word really means? Jesus used the same word, the same Greek word that's found for walking Jesus used in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. When he said this, go, that's the same word, go, walk, same word. He says, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He used the same word. Now listen to me. The entire early church here, in this verse, one verse, all the churches, how many local assemblies there were in Judea, Galilee. We don't even know who planted the churches in the Galilee. We're not told. In the Galilee and in Samaria, every local assembly, the church, the corporate church, they were all doing the exact same thing. One translation says it this way, the church going on its way, going is present tense, which means they were going on in the fear of the Lord, all of them, in the awe of God, in the wonder of God. Oh, listen, in the majesty of God, they were going forward in the fear of the Lord. Can you imagine all of the church, listen, all of us going in the same direction as they were going? All moving, we're all in agreement and we're all moving forth in the fear of the Lord. Can we even say that here? I don't mean that mean. I'm just asking you. This is not just a normal teaching, okay? Where you're following me and all that. No, no, do you understand? I mean, how in the world do we even do this? Well, it tells us. Look at it. In the power of another. It says, they were walking in the fear of the Lord, and they were walking in what else? In the what? The comfort, the strength, the helper, the divine helper of the church, the standby, our intercessor. They were walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. Vance Havner said this about the Holy Spirit. He says, if the Holy Spirit were to leave all the churches in America, 95% of them could continue on with no interruption of their activity. And that is a true word. Most Christians, and I say this lovingly, because they haven't been taught. Most Christians are not taught to practice awareness of the Holy Spirit of God. See, He's here. He's here. He's not only here, He lives in us. Amen? But He's here. And the Holy Spirit is real. And you can make Him sad. You can grieve Him, it says in the Bible. Vex Him. The Holy Spirit. Do we really fear the Lord? Listen, if we really fear the Lord, then we can say this. If we really are fearing the Lord, then I can say, you know what? I'm led by the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. Amen? But if we don't fear the Lord, we should never say, oh, man, I'm filled with the Spirit and I'm walking in the Spirit. No, no, we're not. Listen, loved one, listen to me. The Holy Spirit, how we need the Holy Spirit right now more than ever before. Do you ever the fear of the Lord? Have you ever experienced the fear of the Lord? I mean, where you are in a service and the power of God comes in. And you know, the Spirit of God doesn't always make you feel good. Doesn't always make you feel comfortable. Do you understand? Sometimes it makes you want to hide. I've been in services, Becky and I, we have been in services to where we want to crawl under the seat and hide from God. See, when God shows up, your flesh goes crazy. Do you understand? You're in the midst of holy. You see, we say God is holy, but when you feel something like, you feel His holiness, and it your flesh can't handle it. Does that make sense? We need the Holy Spirit and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. There have been a few times over the course of my life when I literally knew that I was walking, the fear of the Lord was there. I remember when I was just came to the Lord, I was just a baby Christian, a young, handsome man back then. And I was the best man at a wedding, and anyway, they saw a Christian, and we went to the church and all this. They got married, and he said, Bill, please, we're going to go on a honeymoon for 4 days. Stay here at the house, and when we get back, man, we're going to have a great time, and we're going to all, you know, everything. I said, all right, I'll stay. So I went. It was Mother's house. And I go into the house, and I'll never forget, and a photographer brought me from the wedding. And I've told you this story before, and he kept asking me the whole way. He goes, you have the Holy Spirit? I said, what? He said, you have the Holy Spirit? That give me that, you know, that evil eye. Yes, I have it. I mean, I bet you asked me that 50 times. And of course, I was a baby Christian. So that last time, No, but I wanted to. I wanted to punch that guy. I wanted to take that camera. Oh, never mind. But I'm going to tell you. So I got out of the car, and I was so upset. And so I went into the house, and I'll never forget. I can see it, even like I can see it, even this moment. I can see everything, all the furniture. And there on the wall was those golden angels, those old cheap golden cherubs or whatever. But I liked it. And then I went over to the record player. You know what that is, right? And I pulled that. There's a 33 and a third album, you know, vinyl. Yeah. And I'd never heard contemporary Christian music. And it was the second chapter of Acts. It was called the Easter Song. We played it. Jesse was kind enough to play it for me for Resurrection Sunday. You know the song. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing. Remember? And I listened to that, and I was going, man. And then when it was over, I started thinking about that photographer asking me all those questions about, do you have the Holy Spirit? And so I was sitting in a big black leather chair, and there's a little stool in front of me, and I just knelt down. And I was hurt because I didn't know anything about the Bible. I was only a Christian for just a very short time. And I started praying. And I said, Father, am I missing something? I mean, this guy, am I not a believer, Lord? He's kept on telling me I needed something, and I don't know what he meant. And I said this prayer, if there's something that I need that you want me to have that I don't have, will you give it to me? And I was immediately baptized in the Holy Spirit, endued with power from upon high, the upper room. Now listen to me. The fear of the Lord filled that room. I was praying. Like I said, I was on my knees praying. I could not look up. I was terrified. I would not even open my eyes. I knew, as God is my witness, and I die, and you say, Bill, you're crazy, but I don't care anymore. I'm old, you know. His presence was right there. And I knew that there was someone in that room that was holy, holy, holy. And I was too afraid to even open my eyes. And then after just a few minutes, it lifted, and I was on fire for Jesus Christ. We, the Holy Spirit, you see, do we fear the Lord? Do we fear the Lord when we come in here? Really, come on. We're talking, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it's so normal today. I'm going to be late for church. I'm not beating anybody up for that. Come on. It's normal now. It's doctrine, you know. But we're so comfortable. And we don't know that God is here, that Jesus is here. There's no awe. The fear of the Lord is what is needed today. It's what's needed in the church. Loved one, listen to me. The result of all of it, look what it says. Walking in the fear of the Lord, it says, and they were what? Multiplied. What does that mean? That means many disciples, of course. It means many were saved, but it's more than multiplication. Do you understand? That's more than just numbers right here. It means that the church, walking in the fear of the Lord, now they are abounding in the power of God. They're moving in the power of God. You know, King David, he became a teacher in one of his psalms. Let me read it to you. Psalm 34:11. He says, come, you children, listen to me. He says, I will teach you. I love this. I will teach you. Come. I'm going to teach you what? The fear of the Lord. He says, who is the man? I want to be this man. Who is the man who desires life? I do, don't you? Meaning quality of life. Not just going through life, but living the adventure. Amen? He says, who desires life, loves many days that he may see good. Meaning good days, not bad days. Keep your tongue from evil. Your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. Loved one, that is a choice that you make. That is a decision that we make. Amen? And how is it done? Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, you'll do what that verse just said you'll do. Listen, don't you think that if we fear the Lord, that means we want him more than anything else? C.S. Lewis said this. He said, it seems our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition, where when infinite joy is offered to us, everlasting joy. Drinking the water, the living water, they will never thirst again. There's nothing in this world but empty cisterns. Do you understand? They'll never quench our thirst. Oh, all those things. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to go way out on a limb, but I believe what I'm about to say. But you have to check it out for your own heart. When we fear the Lord, I mean, if we truly fear the Lord, does that mean that His fear, because it is His fear. Do you understand? When we fear the Lord, the majestic of God and the awesomeness of God, does He remain with us? Let me give you the scripture why I say that. In the old covenant, whenever the children of Israel, there they were, and the Lord was speaking from Mount Sinai, man, and He was screaming, and not screaming, but His voice was booming, and the children of Israel, what they say, oh, Moses, you speak to us, don't let the Lord speak to us, because if He speaks to us again, we're going to die. And it says in Exodus 20:20, and Moses said to the people, do not fear, now listen carefully what he says, for God has come to test you, and here it comes, that His fear may be before you. In Hebrew, that is a picture of a mirror being in front of you, and you see it as you walk forward. Does that make sense? In other words, it remains before your face. It says that His fear may go before you so that you may not sin. I want you to hold your place right there and turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, okay? And look at verse 25 quickly. This last warning, we've covered this in Hebrews, you'll probably remember it. It says, see that you, that's not just the Jewish believers of them, it's us today, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they, meaning the children of Israel, if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth. Now, it was at Mount Sinai, going back into the Old Covenant. He says, how much more shall we, that brings it present tense, meaning the Jewish believers then in every generation, we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. That was at giving of the law. But now after the cross of Christ, okay? But now He promised, saying, does God ever break a promise? Okay. He promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now, we know that this is in the future. This is the second coming. This is the great tribulation period. So we know that the only place of safety is with the Lord. Amen? Look at verse 27. Now this, yet once more, that means it's going to be the last one, once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, this universe is under a curse. Amen? Under Adam. And listen, is it going to go away? Is it going to melt away? Do we look for a new heavens and a new earth? Absolutely. Okay. Therefore, we are receiving, not going to receive, therefore we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, can never be moved. Verse 28, since we are receiving that kind of kingdom, the eternal kingdom where Jesus is king, let us have what? Grace. In other words, let's express our gratitude to God and worship Him, that by which we may serve God, how? Acceptably or well-pleasing. How do we do that? There's only two ways that I can remember. Number one, yes, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Amen. Or Romans 12, 1 and 2, about living sacrifice unto God, okay? Now, serve God acceptably, but look how we do it, New Testament church. With what? Reverence. In awe of God. Blown away about who God is. Reverence in what? Godly fear. In other words, the fear of the Lord. Why? For our God is, He not used to be, God, our God is a consuming fire. Amen? Man, listen, the Bible goes on in Hebrews, and you probably remember that in Hebrews 10:31. It says, for it is a fearful thing. 10:31, I believe it is. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But listen, are we afraid of God like he's a murderer or something like that? No. No, no. Listen, we love the Lord, and he loves you. You're a child. You belong to him. But listen, we're learning. We need to be afraid of the Lord. We need to fear the Lord. In return to the majesty of God, the awesomeness of God, we should never blame God for anything. He'll never let you down. Never. If you think that, you don't know God very well. He will never let you down. A.W. Tozer said this, I love Jesus because he's my Savior, and I fear him because he's my judge. That's a good word. Now, go back to Acts chapter 9:31. We're going to wrap all this up and we're going to finish, but let's look at it one more time. It says, then the churches throughout, remember the church is singular here, not plural. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, number one, they had peace. Number two, they were edified. Number three, they were walking in the fear of the Lord. They were walking in the comfort of the Spirit, and they were being multiplied. Now, listen carefully. That is only one verse, just one verse. It's actually one incredible verse with many incredible truths, just 33 words. I pondered this verse in confusion yesterday, all day, I could not hardly even put this thing together, and I know it was warfare. And I prayed over it and prayed and pondered. And I'm going to say something to you now. I want you to listen to me. I don't say it in a mean way. I love the church. But we need to hear what I'm about to say. And that is this. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. Amen? He's called the God of this age. We live in a backslidden nation that no longer fears the Lord. We live in a sewer of a city. And I love Fort Worth, okay? It's a sewer. The things that are going on in our city, the things that are happening right before our eyes. And not only that, the society here, the devil and all the rest, do they fear God? Do they fear the Lord? Do they fear the church? You know what I'm saying? Do they? No. And you know why? Because the church doesn't fear the Lord. The light of the world doesn't fear the Lord. The salt of the earth doesn't fear the Lord. Or we'd be doing something. Listen to me now. If the church walks in the fear of the Lord, something has to be happening. He would never tell us to walk in the fear of the Lord, all the church, unless it produced something. Do you understand? It has to produce something or there'd be no fruit. Does that make sense? Okay, now listen. So what does it do? Well, I believe that if we walk in the fear of the Lord, if we get back to work, that's what we're supposed to be doing anyway. I believe that the terror of the Lord will be all over our enemies. Let me give you the Old Testament scriptures, then I'm going to explain it. Psalm 115:11, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is your help and shield. That's a great word. Who's greater than God? Who can give more help than God? Amen. Exodus 23:27. He says this, God says, I will send my fear. There's something about the fear of the Lord, loved one. He says, I will send my fear before you. What is that? I will send my fear, God says, before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come. I will make all your enemies turn their backs on you. No, Bill, you're someone said, well, Bill, we don't fight against flesh and blood. I know we don't, but the Satan, he uses flesh and blood. Amen? Now, let me give you another one. Deuteronomy 2:25, when God told him, said, I've given you this land. And he goes, he says, and this day I will begin to put the dread and the fear upon you, upon the nations under the whole of heaven. That means every nation on earth. Can you believe that? He says, who shall hear the report of you? Is there anybody hearing anything about us? Hear the report of you, and they shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And you say, Bill, that's old covenant. That's the children of Israel. Well, we have a better covenant based on better promises, and we have the surety of the new covenant, the guarantee. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, when Finney went into bars, they closed down in the revivals. Do you understand? When Finney would go into factories, invited to see factories and for the owners and so forth, he'd come in and everyone bowed their heads, all the workers, and they started weeping. The fear of the Lord. It wasn't too long ago, a few years back, that there at Friday's over there by the airport, I told you the story. All the waitresses in that restaurant that night, they were in the restroom weeping. The manager's running all around saying, where are the waitresses? What's going on? We're packed. And they find them in the restroom, and they go, I don't know why I'm weeping. I don't know what's wrong. Just, don't you feel it? The manager goes out, and he looks at the table over there. There's a baseball cap on and four or five people with him. And he goes over and says, sir, are you Billy Graham? He said, yes, sir. He said, all my waitresses are in there weeping. Do we want the fear of the Lord? Listen, I want this city to tremble. I want them on their knees before God. We are the church of the living God. We are the pillar and the truth of all, the foundation of all truth. Amen? Listen, the violent take it by force, meaning we seize the kingdom as a precious prize. Listen, loved one, if we don't fear the Lord, who will? No wonder they treat the church today. People should be getting healed when they walk by this church. People should be baptized in the Spirit when they walk by this church. Are you following me? I don't want to end my race as a complacent Christian. One more time, and I know it's time to go. Let me read it again, if you don't mind. Is that okay? Yes. I might even read it twice. Yes. Then the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, they had peace, edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. One incredible verse, many incredible truths, 33 words. Now listen to me, I'm going to say something. I say it in love. I don't mean it to be mean. I say it, you know, do you know that I have to eat this before you eat it?
Yes.
And I look at this scripture, walking in the fear of the Lord. And I need to ask us a question, and we need to be serious now. We are believers. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven is our home. We're citizens of heaven. I think that the devil desires the souls of men more than the church. I'll say it again. No, I don't think I know. The devil desires the souls of men more than the church desires to go and get the souls of men. You're beating me up, Bill. I'm not beating you up. The Bible says we are the ambassadors of Christ. The Bible says we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That means if you're not following him, then you're not going to be a fisher of men. We have to move. I think that Calvary, and I'm speaking to all Calvaries. No, I'm not. I'm speaking to just us. I don't want to get those other pastors mad at me. I mean, they're all the only friends I have. I think that Calvary, we were more excited about the Jesus Revolution movie reviewing our past glory in the Jesus movement than we are today. We can't live in the past. We can't live on what might have been, could have been, should have been, or any of those things, love. We cannot do it. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. In that one incredible verse that tells us, man, walking in the fear of the Lord, if we read this verse, let me read it. And the churches, all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, peace were edified, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. If I just removed walking in the fear of the Lord, if we remove that, and the church, I don't know, even knows about the fear of the Lord anymore. If we remove that, will we experience the peace talked about here? Will we experience the edification that is spoken about right here? Or how about the comfort? Or how about the multiplication, moving forward in His power? The Bible says, again, I quoted it earlier, O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. No want to those who fear Him. Listen, let me read one more, just a few verses. Proverbs, I'm going to read from Proverbs 2. Let me read. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice, meaning in prayer, for understanding, if you seek her as silver, in other words, if you mine, if like be a miner and dig into God's word, if you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasures, listen to what will happen. Here is a promise from our Father. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. And that's exactly what we need to do. Pastor Thomas sent me this scripture when he found out what I was preaching on. It's a very good one. It says this, though the Lord the enemy, he said, God says, the enemy will run at the sound of your voice, and when you stand up, the nations, they'll run, they'll flee. He says, just as a locust strips the field and the vines. Though the Lord is very great and lives in heaven, He'll make Jerusalem and He'll make Fort Worth. He'll make anybody that fears the Lord. Amen. He says, His home. In that day, He will be your surest foundation, providing a rich store of salvation. Now listen, wisdom and knowledge, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Loved one, it is the fear of the Lord. God wants to move in a special way. I believe that with all of my heart. There's something there's no way I would teach on something and was how it moved me unless God, why would He want us to, do you understand? I know I'm mumbling, it's because I'm just a moron, I guess, but do you understand? I don't know that I've ever struggled to teach a message like this one. I've struggled and I'm strained. And he said, well, Bill, you're not resting in spirit. Yes, I am. There's something that God wants to do. He said, well, if God wants to do it, He'll do it. He will if you're willing. The Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Father, I pray that I've done your will. I don't know what this sermon means, but I know it's true. And you said that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free, Lord. That's what we want. Lord, it's time for your church. I know it's time. Forgive us because we're not in awe of you. Forgive us because we care more about a football game than we do worshiping you the right way. Forgive us. We want to walk in the fear of the Lord. We want to be pleasing in your sight. We want to serve you with reverence and godly fear. We want to bow our knees in humble submission to you again. We only want to be pleasing in your sight. Father, pour your fear upon this local body called Calvary. Do great and mighty things. Use us for your glory. Oh God, give us, let our spine be like iron, and let us stand like men and women of God, and do your will, and seek your will, and want your will. Fill us again over and over, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. And may we, Lord, walk in your wisdom, in your comfort, and your peace. We ask it. We believe it. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen.